Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. Quick announcement before we get into the episode this week. I am getting married on the 18th and going on my honeymoon the next day. Since I'll be away from my computer, we're going to pause on new guest episodes until that first Monday in May. But so we're not leaving you hanging, this week and next week's episodes will feature two fan favorites from the past year that you already know and love. Enjoy these throwback episodes and we'll see you on the 4th.
Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today I'm joined by someone whose running journey has been rooted in patience, community, and rewriting what being a runner can look like. Gabby's story starts in a very different place than marathon training plans and long runs. She grew up as a Division I lacrosse athlete, built her identity around team sports, and then found herself feeling lost when that chapter ended. Running wasn't something she loved right away. In fact, it was something she associated with punishment. But when she signed up for a half marathon on a whim, looking for a new goal and a sense of purpose, everything started to shift. Over the next few years, Gabby slowly built a relationship with running that was pace inclusive, joy focused, and centered on consistency instead of speed. In this episode, we walk through how Gabby went from 8 half marathons to finally signing up for her first full marathon at the Every Women's Marathon in Arizona. We also talk about training, navigating a long training block, leaning on community and mental strength on race day, and what it felt like to cross the finish line smiling after 26.2 miles. This conversation is a powerful reminder that slow and steady really does win the race and that you're allowed to build your running journey in a way that works for you. Without further ado, let's jump into the episode. Please welcome Gabby. Gabby, thank you so much for coming on the show. I will give a little bit of a backstory. I actually met you at the DC Half Marathon for the first time. That was the first time our paths crossed, and I've just loved following your journey since then. So I'm so excited to have you on and break down your first marathon story. Thanks for coming on.
I'm so excited to be here.
Amazing. Well, cool. Well, we always take it back to the beginning on this show. So how did movement start for you? How did we end up in this world?
Yeah, so I grew up playing sports. I played lacrosse and basketball. I think I started in third grade. Slowly but surely, lacrosse became my main sport, and I started to play travel lacrosse, which I was literally going up and down the East Coast. Weekends, like, you know, whatever, middle school and high school, that was like my main thing, you know, travel lacrosse, because I wanted to play lacrosse in college. Fast forward through those years, I actually ended up signing and playing 1 year of Division I lacrosse. It was so much fun, you know, mental health things. I decided to quit and I kind of felt lost because, like, my whole life I had this one goal of playing Division I lacrosse and I had gotten there and it wasn't what I expected. And I quit and I'm like, okay, my whole purpose was in this one sport. What the heck am I going to do now? Like, I felt so lost. Luckily, I had some really good, like, athletic trainers, and they introduced me to, like, gym and workouts, like, a couple years prior to that. So I started going to the gym and I was like, okay, like, I'm finding my purpose again. I love moving my body. Like, I've been doing it my whole life, but, like, I didn't have any goals. So I'm like, why? Yeah. I'm just lifting to lift. You know, I used to have games that I was doing and, like, what was I doing? So eventually one day decided to sign up for a half marathon just on a whim because I was like, I don't have anything I'm training for. I don't have any plans. I'd never run more than 3 miles.
Yeah.
And I convinced my friend, I was like, hey, you want to run a half marathon with me? And she was so down for it. She hadn't run before either.
Nice.
And so we were like in it together. It was just kind of a spur of the moment thing of I want a purpose. You know, I didn't have the best experience with running just because playing sports growing up. I don't know. I'm sure so many people can relate to this, but running was a punishment, whether it was like get on the line, run test, which anxiety right there.
Yeah.
So I finally felt like I was in control. Like, I didn't have a coach telling me what to do. I didn't have, like, teammates. You know, this was just me doing something for myself. So I got into running and now I'm like 2.5 years later and I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah. Now you can't picture your life without it. It's funny how that happened so quickly.
I never thought I would love running and here I am.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I know, like, a lot of team sport athletes, they struggle with, like, motivating themselves after playing a team sport for a really long time. Cause I was in the same camp. You have a coach that's, like, telling you what to do so much. So when you were transitioning from team sport to, like, I don't know what my goals are to half marathon, I guess, like, How was that experience? How was it having to motivate yourself versus being told like, this is what you should do to get to this?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it was hard at first, but definitely finding people to run with, like having my friend there, because like when you say that you're going to go on a run tomorrow at 7 a.m. with a friend, like you don't want to let them down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I've canceled so many runs just on myself, but yeah, that one's hard. Definitely having people around you. You know, I would always just be like, okay, I'm going to get a sweet treat after, you know, giving myself like something to look forward to.
I love that. That's great. So yeah, so train for your first marathon. Obviously, this has taken you on a whole journey from there. But what was it about your first half marathon that you feel like hooked you or gave you the bug or like kept you, you know, wanting more?
It's actually funny because as soon as I finished my first half marathon, well, let me take you back. So it was, I am from Maryland. I ran that race in Maryland in like late October. And usually in late October in Maryland, it's like cool weather, you know. For some reason on that day, it was like 80 degrees. Mm. And I had been training in like 40 degree weather. So as soon as I was done with it, I was like, oh my God, I am never doing that again. But then I just like kept running. And my second half marathon, I did with the same friend like many months later. And I was like, wait, this one was so much better. This was fun. I want to do this again. Just feeling the high of crossing the finish line and yeah, getting faster from the first one. I was like, oh, this is addicting. This is addicting.
Yeah, for sure. And I know like a big part of your running journey online has been like that you're very pace inclusive. You're somebody that like has taken this journey fairly like slowly and built speed over consistency over time. So I guess what was your relationship? You said you got faster for the second one. So what was your relationship with like pace and speed and things like that in the beginning?
Yeah. So when I started, I remember my first run, I had done like 3 miles and that was the longest I had run in like years, like back to back. And my pace was like 12 minutes. And I was like, wait, why do I feel like slow? Like that was hard, but why do I feel slow? And then I started like going up 4 miles and 5 miles. And for me, like going at that pace, I don't know, if I felt like I was trying to go faster, I would hate myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was scared to start posting like my pace because I'm like, people are running marathons at like 6 minute paces. And here I am taking double the time. Like, what's going on? But also like my heart rate felt good at that pace. You know, I don't know. It was just something I was like, you know what, I'm just going to post it. And so many people related to not being super fast.
Yeah, I think that it's like kind of taboo in some ways to post your paces, but I think it's so important in some cases to like show people what a normal runner looks like. And I think you've been like a great example of somebody who has been able to build like over time and through consistency. And I'm sure that you felt that through like multiple of your different half marathons. So yeah, like how did that manifest over time? Because I know you've ran, we said like 8 or 9 now. So how did that, your pace change over time? How did your relationship with posting about your pace change all over online? Like how did all of that change?
Well, honestly, I don't do speed work. That's like a bad thing to say, but I kind of just preach that like consistently I was just, you know, running. But I feel like my first one, I think I ran at like a 13 minute pace, I want to say. I think it took me like 2 hours, 50 something minutes.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was only running 3 days a week.
Yeah.
So for my next one, I wanted to up it to 4 days a week. And so that's what I did. Still didn't do any speed work because I was like, absolutely not. I am going to hate running if I try to force myself to go faster in any way, shape or form.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I trained for the second one probably for about like 5 months. Again, just running 4 times a week. And I feel like consistently over the past 2.5 years of my running journey, I've just gotten faster just because of consistency. Now I run at like an 11 to 12:30 pace.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just consistency, you know, right now I'm working on speed, but yeah, for that, just staying consistent. So many people are like, how do you get faster? And I'm like, sometimes you just have to like push through just like keeping this pace the same for a little bit and slowly but surely you'll get faster.
Totally. Yeah. And it's like I talk a lot about like your overall relationship with running. Like you don't want to sacrifice that by starting too quick and trying to push yourself too much in the beginning of your journey where you just like hate it. So I love that you were able to like spread it out over a long period of time for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, I can barely run 1 mile and I hate it. And I'm like, well, slow down. Like you're going too fast. Just slow and steady wins the race.
For sure. Yeah, I love that. Well, cool. So yeah, I guess out of your 8 half marathons, we're building up to when you made the decision to run your full, but out of those 8, what were the races that you felt like taught you the most? Like where you overcame something or, you know, like what are the ones that stood out to you?
Yeah. Okay. So for my first 2, I ran with someone else. The third one I had started, that was the DC half marathon was my third one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I had started with like a group of people and then we kind of all just like spread out. So I was running the race pretty much by myself, which I was not used to. And I don't know if you remember, but I think it was like mile 6 or 7 was just like the slightest uphill.
Yeah.
And I don't train hills. So that mentally for me, that one was hard. And that was the first race that I walked, I don't know. That was the first race that I walked a little bit and I was kind of down on myself because I didn't have like any support near me. You know, I had to really like lock in to my mind and be like, you can do this. You've done this so many times. Yeah. That one was hard for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that hill. It was like, as soon as you're leaving like National Mall area, when you're getting out into the foresty area, I do love that race, but yeah, there were some hills for sure. What did you learn from that race that you took forward to other races?
Honestly, that was where I really was like, okay, your mind matters. Like your mind the whole time matters. And if you're having negative thoughts, your body is going to react to that. Because the following month I had ran the Baltimore half marathon, which if no one is familiar with that, that one is so hilly. But I had a friend with me and we were just dancing and vibing. And even though the hills were absolutely awful, like my mind and how I was feeling was just so much better because of my mental state.
Yeah. So being with people seems to be really important to you.
Yes. And even if like we're not talking, even just having, I'm like, I know someone is right next to me, like struggling and doing the same exact thing. And, you know, we're jamming to the same music or we're at the same mile. Just having someone I feel like has been a game changer.
Yeah, it can make a huge difference for sure. Well, cool. So yeah, so we went along this journey over the last 2 years of running all these half marathons. I guess, when did you decide or when did it first enter your brain? Like, maybe I could sign up for a marathon.
Oh, okay. So in 2024, the DC half marathon, I did the Baltimore half. I did like 4 months in a row of half marathons. And finally, at the beginning of 2025, I was kind of just like sitting in my room and I was like, I've done all these half marathons. I need to do a full. Like, I want to experience a full. And I was kind of just sitting on it, you know, waiting for the perfect time, what race. I had no idea. And then one morning in late March, I woke up randomly. It was like 6 a.m. before I had to go to college. And I just signed up.
I love that.
It was just for the moment. Like, I didn't think too much about it because I feel like if I thought too much about it, I would have backed out of it.
Right, right.
But no, I signed up, put my credit card information in, and it was good to go. And I was like, oh my God, I'm doing this.
Yeah, yeah. It's official now. And how far out was that? Like when you signed up, how far out were you from the date of the race?
8 or 9 months. Eight months, I think. Yeah.
Cool. So you had plenty of runway to, and you were already at a half marathon base at that point too. So you had plenty of runway to plan this whole thing. So like, I guess after you sign up, what's step one? Like what were you looking at plans? Were you reaching out to people? Like what was next step?
So step one, well, I had a half marathon like a month after. So like I was focused on the half marathon.
Mm.
And then also in the midst of this, I was moving across the country and like lots of change. I had graduated college, lots of change happening. I was like, suddenly I was like, oh my gosh, I need to start planning for this. I don't recommend this, but I kind of did a mismatch of planning I feel like a lot of people think I know a lot about running, but you guys, I know nothing. I am learning. I'm still like a beginner runner, I think. But with my like half marathon base and running 4 days a week, I knew that I wanted to continue to run 4 days a week just because that's what I love. I know that works for my body. And the Everyone's Marathon, they put out a plan, and I had like just a bunch of just random ones. Like I would do 2 shorter runs a week. I do 1 like medium run a week, and then I do my long run. And I was kind of seeing, I was following a lot of people who were also training for the Everyone's Marathon. So I was like seeing what they were doing. Yeah, I kind of just went in blindly.
You know what though? Like, especially now that I just got my coaching certification like 2 months ago. And after going through all that, I can appreciate the runners that actually take the time to like hodgepodge a few plans though, versus the ones that are just like, this is my plan and I'm sticking to it to a T. Cause sometimes those plans can be like not a one size fits all. So I actually kind of appreciate that you were like, I'm going to do a couple of things. This is what works for me. This is what I know I can do. Like, I actually think that's a solid way to go about planning for sure.
But the one thing I do regret is I started 24 weeks out. I started 6 months out, which I was just so eager to get into like marathon training. Oh my gosh.
Sure.
And once I hit like 8 weeks out from my marathon, I was like, my body is tired. Like I felt I could have run that marathon at that time. And it was like, it was the last like 2 months were hard because I was like, I've done my 20 milers. Like it, that was one thing going into my next one. I will not do, I'm going to do a lot shorter of a plan.
Sure. Or like, like a base building season first and then like actual plan after that.
Yes. Yes, yeah, for sure.
Okay. That's interesting. So you hit 20 miles 8 weeks before your marathon. That would also drive me crazy. So how did you like keep the motivation, I guess, going?
Yeah. Wait. So I think I was 8 weeks out. I did a couple like 19 milers. I did a 21 and my furthest was a 22. I think my 22 was 7 weeks out.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was 7 weeks out. And then I did like a slow taper ish because I was traveling and, you know, life gets in the way in marathon training and you're just kind of figuring it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Just roll with the punches for sure.
My motivation, honestly, I feel like posting. Seeing so many people and following so many people and posting and people being so encouraging, like made me want to just keep running because there's so many people that are cheering me on. Just having a good support system, you know, my family, my friends, my boyfriend who are always there, you know, supporting me, cheering me on. Like my mom's texting me during my long runs. What mile are you at?
Oh, just, cute. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely helps a lot.
Yeah. Community. Again, this has like been a theme of your whole story of just having really awesome people around you to support your running journey. I think that's amazing. So yeah, so peaked at 22, I guess. Well, before I get into like more training questions, how did you land on Every Women's Marathon? Because that's one that I know it's gotten a lot of popularity over the last couple of years. But yeah, how did it end up on your desk?
Yeah. So I had a couple of friends who ran. The first one was in 2024 in South Carolina, I want to say. And I had some friends do that and it had always been on my radar. And they announced, I guess, early 2025 that they were going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona. And at that time, I knew I was moving to Arizona from Maryland. So I feel like it all just like fell at the perfect time. Yeah, I think it just everything like was kismet and just, you know, fell at the perfect time. It was going to be where I was moving, being surrounded by so many women, like seeing all the videos of people running it. I just knew I was like, I want that to be my first one and a flat race course.
Cool.
But we'll get into
that. I was going to ask if you looked into anything on the race course. But yeah, it sounds like it just lined up perfectly, which is awesome. So yeah, back to training a little bit more. So you hit 22. That last peak run, even if you do like a longer taper or shorter taper, that last long run is the one that's usually like, yes, I'm confident. I feel like I can do this. We're good. Or that's the one that's like, oh my gosh, I have like 4 more miles to run. This is going to be a little hard. How did you feel after that peak run?
The 22 miles was a struggle for me. Well, also I will say, training for marathon in Arizona summer is not for the weak because it was hot. Like even at 5 a.m. when I was starting these long runs, it was still like 85 degrees.
Oh,
one thing, it does not cool down overnight here, especially in the summer. And that that I think was the hardest part. But once I finished my 22, that was a hard day. I had a lot of walking breaks. I had a lot of stops, lots of water, and it was a hard one. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But I was like, I did 22. I know I can do 4 more. That was like my motto going into it. And even like a couple of days before the race, everyone I met, I was like, I did 22. It's just 4 more. It's just 4 more.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like running 22? I know you have like nothing to compare it to yet, but do you feel like getting up to 22 instead of like the traditional 20 that helped you more mentally because you were a little bit closer to 26?
Yeah. I knew that I wanted to do 22 at the beginning because I feel like 20... I was like, okay, that's still 6 more miles, which for me is like over an hour of running. I know a lot of like running coaches don't say like, don't go over a certain amount of hours or miles or whatever. But I knew for my mental that I needed to hit that 22 because 4 miles, less than an hour of running, like I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also like training your brain. I think that's something that people don't think about when they think about training for their first marathon. They're like, okay, I know I need to train my legs, obviously. I know I need to probably train my stomach because I'm going to have to take in some fuel. But like, yeah, training your brain and doing those things that are going to help you mentally during the race can make a huge difference for sure.
100%. Yes.
Yeah. Well, cool. So then we went into sort of taper season from there. Again, like I feel like there's two camps with taper. It's like you love it or it drives you absolutely crazy. What was the taper period like for you?
So I feel like I was in between that. Luckily, I had a work trip and I was working at the New York City Marathon. So I was seeing like everyone get their bibs. I was watching the race and I feel like that got me so excited and out of my taper crazies because I was watching people do it and I was like, oh my God, in a few weeks, that's going to be me.
Yeah. Especially New York. New York's like the craziest one to watch too.
That was also my first marathon I was spectating, which is kind of crazy, but yeah, that was insane. Makes me want to run it. But anyways, sidetracking. Yeah, I feel like the last 2 weeks of taper, I was like sitting and I'm like, I don't feel productive. What am I doing? Luckily, I didn't get any like taper crazy pains or anything. But I was like, I feel like I need to be running right now. I'm running a marathon. Yeah. I feel like I should be running this week. So that was part was hard for me, but it was good to give my body the rest that it needed.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Especially after having a little bit of a longer training block, I'm sure your legs were like, thank you. Like, this is actually kind of nice. Okay, cool. And then I guess mentally leading up to the race. So maybe we're thinking like within the last week of the race leading up, how were you feeling? Were you excited? Were you antsy, nervous? Like, what was the planning week of like for you?
Yeah, I was nervous. I feel like I had a lot of self-doubt. And I just remember being like, no, you can do this. You've been training so hard. Like I kept trying to talk myself out of those self-doubt moments, which I think helped a lot, but I was definitely nervous. I mean, it's my first marathon. I was like, what is going to happen? Like, what's the weather going to be? Like so many different things because there was rain on the radar, like a lot of things going on in my mind. And I was trying to like go on walks, do some yoga, like calming stuff to help just clear my mind. And I think that helped.
Yeah, that's smart. And then you mentioned earlier, like all these people online supporting you and you posted pretty much your entire marathon journey, like online for people to see, which was very cool. But did that add more pressure to that like week of, did you feel a lot of pressure from so many eyes being on you?
Yes and no. Also, one of my biggest things going into it was I never put out a pace goal, a time goal. I was just going for fun. I think if I were to have been like, oh, I need a sub, whatever, I would have felt more pressure because I would have been posting about it and people would have been expecting that out of me. But I just think the running community that I have met have just been so supportive. And no matter what I would have done, I know people would have been like, you just ran a freaking marathon. That's insane. Yeah. So no, I don't think I felt any pressure, especially because I didn't put that pressure on myself to like hit a certain goal or whatnot.
That makes sense. And a testament to the community you've been able to build too. Like if you have people around you that you're not afraid they're going to like hate you for not being able to run the marathon or whatever, like that's great that you have those people around you for sure.
Yes.
Quick break from today's episode to share that the My First Marathon merch is officially live. Whether you're headed out for a cold run or just living in comfy clothes between workouts, shop the MFM hoodie and beanie to add a few new comfy pieces to your closet. You can shop everything at myfirstmarathon.co, click on shop, and use code MFM10 for 10% off your first order as a special thanks to all of our listeners. That's myfirstmarathon.co, click on shop, and use code MFM10 for 10% off your first order. All right, let's jump back to the episode. Cool. Okay. Well, let's fast forward a little bit to race day. So I'm sure it was in Arizona, but I guess like compared to where you live, were you traveling in? Did you have to like spend the night or go in early at all? Or guess what were the logistics like?
Luckily, I slept in my own place.
I love that.
I had my normal routine. That's one thing for me. Like I am a girl who thrives off of her routine. So like staying in hotels or sometimes like, I don't know about the sleep and whatnot. So I was able to stay here. And then luckily I didn't have to get on a shuttle or anything. My boyfriend just dropped me off at the start line because it was only like 15 minutes away from our place, which was
so nice. That's very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had my routine. I had everything I needed in my apartment to like succeed.
Yeah, I love that. The races where I've been able to sleep in, like, wake up in my own bed and go to sleep in my own bed have been so much better than the marathons that I've traveled for. It can be a lot when you have to like, put together all the logistics of everything.
Sure.
Cool. Okay, so you were there. And getting to the start line, you said you were feeling pretty nervous. But what walk us through, like, race morning. What was it like from when you got to the start line to when the race started?
Yeah, okay. So I woke up way before my alarm. I think my alarm was set at 3:45 or 4 a.m. I think 3:45. And I woke up alert at like 2:30.
Oh, no.
That's one thing about me. Like on race day, no matter what, like if it was a 5K, 10K, half, like I will wake up way before my alarm. And so I woke up at like 2:30 and like I was falling in and out of sleep for like 45 minutes and finally got up at like 3:15. I had my normal like bagel and peanut butter and banana. I will say my stomach was not good. Usually before my long runs though, like I didn't have any stomach issues. So I woke up and I'm like, what is happening right now? Like bubble guts galore. I was like, oh, and I didn't want to like take any like Imodium or whatever people take, 'cause I hadn't taken it before.
Right.
But luckily I think it was just a little bit of nerves. And finally, like I got some food in me and I was like, okay, it's fine. I'm good to go. Yeah. I packed up like all my stuff. I decided that was one thing. I was deciding whether I wanted to do a vest or belt. I decided two spy belts. So I had like all the pockets. And then luckily my mom and my boyfriend were traveling along the course to give me the stuff that I needed. But yeah, my boyfriend dropped me off at the start line. Luckily I met two of like my internet mutuals at the start line.
Fun.
And yeah.
So we got to the start line. Yeah. It's coming from your house is so much better. So you had all your stuff with you, decided on the spy belts and everything. And then we start the race. I'm sure there was waves at every women's, I would imagine. Did you have like a long time where you were standing at the start line before you started?
Well, actually, so 10 minutes before the start, it just starts downpouring. And
oh my gosh.
Usually rain in Arizona, it like just downpours and then it goes away. Luckily, the downpour lasted like 5 minutes and then we didn't see an ounce of rain after that. So that was also scary.
Lucky.
Because everyone is like, it is pouring down rain right now. Everyone's in the corral. We're like, oh, this is not going to be a good day. It went away. It was perfect. But I guess some of the shuttles were delayed a little bit that were dropping people off. So I think we started like 15 minutes after we were supposed to. But their like corrals, it was honestly like pretty fast, I would say. There was 8 corrals maybe, and I was off within like 10 minutes of the first corral. So
okay,
yeah,
not too bad.
No,
cool.
It wasn't.
Okay, sweet. And then we start the race. I know that first mile can always be a little tricky, either come out too quick or it's tough to pace. So I guess walk us through like the first 6 or so miles of your first marathon.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh, I remember just like, I'm like visualizing it right now, just like going through the start line. And I was like, holy shit, I am doing this. I'm running a marathon. luckily one of the girls that I had met, she was like, I'm going to run this with you. Like, well, originally, wait, backtrack. One of my best friends was supposed to run it with me, but things happened and she couldn't. So that was like 3 weeks before. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to run this by myself, which I mean, you guys have learned, I like running it with people. And yes, so luckily I had a friend who I had met like the day before, and she was like, I'm going to run this with you. This was like her third or fourth marathon. She was like, I don't have a time goal. Like, I just want to help you and be there for you. So I will be forever grateful for her, because we went out and she's like, hey, we might be going a little too fast. Let's pull it back a little bit. It's like mile one. I was like, okay, mile one's done. You know, the first 6 miles honestly went by super fast. We didn't go too fast. We were going nice and slow. One thing I will say, I didn't listen to music this entire race. All I had in my headphones, I know, which I trained with music. So
yeah,
I had like my rally notes or rally messages. Oh, if you guys don't know,
I definitely recommend that.
It's an app that every mile, like people can leave you like a minute long message and you hear it at the start of every mile. And that really got me through, because my mom sent it to some people that I didn't know she was going to send it to. So every mile I was either like crying or laughing from friends. Yeah. And I feel like that distracted me having something to look forward to and be like, oh my gosh, who's going to be in my ear next? I didn't listen to any music. I was planning on starting it after like mile 10 and I just didn't, which was kind of crazy. But yeah, first 6 miles, nice and easy, nothing too fast, too crazy. I was feeling really good.
I love that. And the crowd support was good, I would imagine, right? Every woman's would be decent.
I would say, so the thing was with this course, we were on a lot of like golf courses.
Like trails.
Yeah, a lot of trails. It was like, it was kind of weird. I feel like there wasn't a lot of support. I mean, some points there was like a mile where there was maybe like two people that you would see. So It wasn't a lot of people, but some like bridges that we would go under, there was like music and stuff. So it was
cool.
It wasn't too bad, I would say.
Okay, cool. So then, yeah, 6 to 13 is still charted territory for you. So I guess up until the half marathon point, how were you feeling?
Yeah, honestly, I was feeling so good. I feel like once I hit mile 10, though, I just got the weirdest cramp in like my lower side, which I usually get them like my upper side. So I was like, oh no, it was like bad. And one thing, I was just positive thoughts in my head and smiling through the whole time. I did like a race recap and I said, I was smiling this entire race. And I really think that's what helped me, because it was pain that I'd never felt before. And I was like, I have the same fuel. I had water when I was supposed to, like I was fueling consistently. I had a fuel plan. So it was just like a weird tweak. I don't know what was going on, but that kind of scared me for like a mile. So that's when I first walked a little bit. I was like, hey, I think I need to just walk it out for a minute or two and see how I feel. Luckily it went away. I don't know what happened. I think it was like my mind just being like, I'm not hurting right now. I'm not hurting.
Yeah.
So mile 10 to 13 was really good. I will say at mile 13, though, it was pretty cloudy, and that's when the sun came out. And something about Arizona sun, it is brutal. Luckily, I had trained in the Arizona weather, so like I knew what to expect. But that's when I feel like a lot of people started to, like, it really hit them.
Yeah. And that's tough, too, especially for your first marathon. Like, seeing other people around you who are, like, even if they're not dropping like flies, like, even seeing people struggling around you can be really tough on you mentally. I guess, how were you, aside from, like, training in the Arizona sun, like, how were you putting blinders on through that, or, like, keeping yourself moving forward?
Honestly, just positive affirmations in my head. Like, usually I would, in my long runs in the training block, I would have music playing, but I was kind of just, like, taking it all in and just smiling through the pain or whatever. I genuinely don't know. I think I was just smiling my way into delusion.
And I love it.
I was just having so much fun. I was like, wow, I'm really doing this. Like, I would tear up thinking about crossing the finish line, and I was still like 3 hours away from it.
I love that, though. And I'm sure that carried you through a lot. Like, I forget what they say. I'm going to give a shout out to my girl Paige, because she left me a rally note that said this during my marathon recently, but it's like, you can trick your brain into different dopamine signals by smiling and thinking that you have more like dopamine left in you than you actually do. So I'm sure that there's some scientific thing to you smiling the whole time that was helping you.
Yes, like my cheeks were hurting because I was just enjoying it so much, and I genuinely think I had the best first marathon experience. But
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So after your 13 mile point, so now we're in uncharted territory. Obviously, you had done training runs, but in terms of like a race, this was all new for you. So yeah, walk us through the, I guess maybe 13 to like 20 ish, or whenever you felt like things started to get really difficult.
Yeah. So 13 to 20, 13, 14 were good. 15 was pretty good, and then 16 and 17. So this race, sometimes I like don't look at the elevation map gain, whatever. And I kind of just like knew that it was going to be a pretty flat race. But I would say mile 16 and 17 was like the slightest incline up a hill. And it was like a never ending up a hill. And I was like, when is this going to end? It was like a good mile and a half up a mountain.
That's a lot.
And yeah, so that's when my friend and I started doing run walk intervals, and I genuinely think that helped so much, because if I tried to run up that hill, I would have been out for the count. It would have not been good. So we started to do like, I guess she had on her watch, like a 1 minute run, 30 second walk or something that we were doing. And luckily there was like a DJ with a speaker. So we were like jamming out to music up there. And then we finally get to the top of the hill, and then we have to go all the way down the hill. And Everyone's Marathon had us do a U-turn at the bottom of the hill, come back up, and go back down. So
stop. I would have quit.
That right there, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, it was like the worst U-turn ever in a marathon.
Oh, that's so bad.
And like up a hill, downhill, and then turn around up and down. And I really think the run walk intervals got me through that. You know, I was encouraging people. You know, Mackenzie was there with her megaphone and the Fuel Goods team. And she
was
encouraging. I saw her like 10 times, and she was the best. But the run walk intervals saved me during that. And I think it finally ended at like mile 20 or mile 19, 20. And we were finally on the downhill and then flat.
Oh my gosh, that's brutal. Like going up, having a hill at around like mile between 17 to 20 is already brutal, but making you do it twice, like I'm like, who do I put in notes for this? Because we can't do this.
Everyone,
again.
It was funny because like, I mean, everyone was thinking the same thing. We were like, what is going on? I was just like laughing it off. I was like, couldn't this have been like the start line? I would have rather this
literally
be mile one and two and then flat for the rest. But yeah, I was just comical at what it was.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so bad. So yeah, you finally get to the bottom of the hill, and now you're in like the miles that everybody says are the hardest miles of the race. So now you're at mile 20 and you're having to figure it out. So yeah, how were your legs feeling after going up and down the hills twice? And then how were you feeling like going through the last six?
Honestly, I was feeling so good.
Oh, good.
Mile 21 or 20, I think mile 21, my friend that I was running with, she was struggling a little bit, and she was like, Gabby, just go. Like, you're feeling strong, just go. So I started to just like take off on my own, and I thought I was going to struggle a lot more, but I genuinely was just smiling. Like, I was like, oh, there goes mile 22. There goes mile 23. My boyfriend was following me around on a bike. So at like mile 23 or 24, he gave me like a Diet Coke, and genuinely that just was perfect.
Yeah.
So I got my Diet Coke, you know, I was just like, I met some girls along the way. We were just talking, you know, we were like, oh my gosh, we have 3 more miles left. We have 2 more miles left. I will say mile 26 was my fastest mile, which
is
insane to think about, because I was keeping like a 12 minute 30 pace, I want to say. And mile 26 for me was like 11:15, I think. So I was feeling so good. Also, I think I was fueling right the entire time. You know, I was drinking my water at every station. I had my salt stick electrolytes with me. Like, I was fueling when I should be. And I really think that got me through, because mile 26, or I guess mile 25, was like really good.
That's awesome. And again, like a testament to your training, because you don't finish a marathon fast on accident. Like that happens when you train the right way, and when your body's ready to push through something when things are hard. So that's just like a huge testament to how you train. But what an incredible way to end a marathon, feeling awesome and not feeling like dead and you don't want to do it again. That's great. That's awesome.
I will say, so again, another thing with the race course, at mile 25.9, I guess the one thing I hated was like your watch is so different from like the course, or it's like 0.2 or 0.3 miles off. So like you never really know where you're at. And so I was on mile 25. I guess my watch had just hit 26. And so I was like turning a corner and I thought the finish line was going to be like on that side, because like I saw my boyfriend and my mom, they were cheering me on. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm almost done with this race. I turn around and the finish line is nowhere to be seen. And I'm like,
no,
where the heck is it? And so they had us do another U-turn. So we had like 0.1 mile, had to do a U-turn to come back around, and the finish line was on this side. And oh, right then and there, I was like, are you kidding me? Another U-turn?
That's crazy.
Like, yeah. I was so excited that I thought it was going to be right there. I was like, oh my God. Like, I started like picking up my pace, wasn't anywhere to be seen. And I was like, that really got me, but I was like, oh, whatever. And then finally, like, turn around and like, you see the finish line. And I just start tearing up instantly. I was like, holy crap, I'm about to finish a marathon. I saw some friends at the finish line too, like just having so many people just cheer for you and like crossing that finish line. I am going to want to experience again, because it was like one of the best days of my life.
Yeah. And once you feel it once, and especially once you have a good experience crossing your first, like a marathon finish line, you're like, okay.
Yes.
We're going to need you that again and again and again. So fun.
Just riding the high. Yes.
Yes. Yes. But that's amazing. So I always love the stories that are like, you took your time through training. You really built this strong foundation with running and a strong like relationship with running. It seems like you're able to find community through this whole thing, which is just like an added bonus. But then you get to have a finish line experience like that. It's like a nice little bow in the end. I love when the stories are like full circle like that. But I guess like if you could think back to, you know, like Gabby in college where things weren't working out for you and you were looking for a goal, like what are some of those things that you felt like you left a different person once you crossed the finish line?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I learned so much about myself just in starting to run and becoming a runner. And I think, you know, everything that has happened has led me up to this moment and had led me up to finishing that finish line. Because, you know, if I didn't grow up playing sports and I didn't go and, you know, play my college sport for a year and struggle with that and then quit and try to find myself in something else. And I think during it, I was trying to find myself in other things, but genuinely, I just needed to find out like who I was and not, you know, put my identity in something. You know, I don't just consider myself a runner or a marathoner. You know, there are so many aspects to me. And I think that was a big thing, because, you know, I'm not just Gabby the runner. There are so many other things about me that, you know, I can identify as myself. And yeah, I think that not putting my identity in just one thing has really been something that I learned, and especially marathon training. I mean, you really are a runner and really just focus on running the entire process and the 6 months I was training for it. And it's really hard to not put yourself in just a bubble, because, you know, there's so many plans you cancel because, oh, I have a 20-mile long run tomorrow. Like there are, you know, friends you don't see or talk to as much because you're just so focused on doing that one thing and focusing on that one goal. And I think being able to identify myself not solely as a runner, but so many other things has really been something that I took away from this.
I love that. Yeah. It's like, it allows you to separate yourself. Like I can relate to you a lot with the team sport thing. It's like, it's your entire life. Everything builds up to this one thing, like playing a sport in college. And then when it doesn't happen for you, you're like, okay, well, who am I? And you go on this whole process. And I think running is a fantastic tool, but you're 100% right. Like it shouldn't be everything. It should be a tool that you use to like make the rest of your life better. So I love the way you put that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, cool. And then I always love to ask for a piece of advice as well. So if you're thinking about somebody who's, you know, at the beginning of their marathon journey or at the beginning of their running journey, what's some advice that you might offer somebody like that?
Yeah. I mean, my biggest thing, slow and steady wins the race. I feel like a lot of people steer away from running because they think that they have to be super fast, whether right off the bat or continuously. And, you know, building your relationship with running it in and of itself is so important, because you're going to hate it if you like are dying the entire time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's my biggest thing. Slow and steady wins the race. You know, don't go off too fast, especially during races. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Start slow. It's important.
Yes.
Yes. Cool. Well, let's talk about some fun questions to wrap us up here. So I always love to ask about fuel and shoes and what have been sort of your favorites throughout the time. But before we get into it, I always give the disclaimer that fuel is your own journey. Please try everything and everything and find what works best for you. Same thing with shoes. You've got probably some fantastic local running stores near you that can help you find the shoe that works for you. But for you, Gabby, what have you liked for fuel over time?
Yes. Okay. So I have been a Honey Stinger energy chew girl from the beginning. I'm not the biggest goo, like the energy gel things. Yeah. They're not the best for me. I don't know. There's something about the texture of them. I haven't found one that I absolutely love. I do like the Honey Stinger ones, but the gummies, when you feel like you're eating candy, are my favorite. So Honey Stinger ones, and then Bonk Breaker energy ones, specifically the sour blue raspberry ones, taste like candy. That I recommend. Those are so good.
Nice. I love that. And then what about shoes? What have you liked for shoes over time?
Shoes. So I have ran all of my races in a Brooks shoe.
Nice.
Specifically, my marathon I ran in the Brooks Glycerin Maxes, which I love those shoes so much.
Yeah.
And then some of my other ones I ran in Brooks Glycerin Stealth Fits. So I think Brooks are my favorite. But yes, go get fitted and go to your local running store and don't do it because they're cute.
Yeah. Feet are weird. Like, you should get your feet measured. I even before, like, I thought I had an idea of what shoes would be best for me. And then I went to a store and they were like, actually, you have super high arches, and you were kind of completely wrong about what you were doing before. So yeah, please go see your local running store. But I also love Brooks. Brooks has to make some really awesome shoes.
Yes. Love them.
Yeah. Cool. Well, sweet. Well, I guess my last question for you is just, what's coming up next? What are you thinking? You just ran this marathon like a month ago. So I don't even know if you've started thinking about like the next one, but what's the things that are crossing your mind right now?
Yeah. So right now I just started thinking about how I want to get faster. So I am starting to incorporate interval runs in my weekly training, but right now I was just thinking to myself, I kind of just want to stay in half marathon race shape. You know, I don't have anything planned yet, but I do want to run another marathon in 2026, probably the fall time, but maybe some half marathons sprinkled in there, maybe like a 5K for fun. But yeah, I'm just figuring out, seeing what's going to be next.
That's exciting. I kind of love that. I'm in a similar phase too, where I'm like, I don't really know what 2026 is going to look like. I have some ideas, but it's kind of fun to just like have the goals be open-ended and just like whatever happens, happens, and you'll work towards it when you know what it is.
Yeah. Just going with the flow, seeing what I want to do. And yeah, I'm very excited though.
Amazing. Well, cool. Well, looking forward to seeing what you choose. And if anybody wants to follow along with you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So on TikTok, I'm just at Gabby Averill, GabbyAverill. And then Instagram, just Gab Averill. So yes.
Amazing. Okay, cool. Well, I'll link all your information in the show notes as well. But thank you again for coming on and breaking down your first marathon story. So fun.
Oh, thank you so much. I loved this.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives. You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at My First Marathon Pod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at tay.says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.